Amen. We are in the middle of a series. We'll just see how many weeks it goes. I usually get hung up on a point. This is the outline. I'm always over-optimistic, but we start out patience, fruit of the Holy Spirit. The first Sunday we talked about three things it teaches you. Last week, three things that are built in you. And then three things you do to get strong in patience. But as always, I got up this morning, and that inactivity is not no activity. I felt the Holy Spirit wanted me just to sort of zero in on it. That's where we're going, but is it okay if we just wander and enjoy the roses, man? Because it's sometimes people, some of you may not have been here 2 weeks ago, and we just to work through it. Patience has gotten a bad rap. You can find there are 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit. That doesn't change. You know me, if you get one slide, you're lucky. So there's your one slide that you'll probably have every week. But Galatians 5, 22 and 23 out of the Amplified. Let me just list the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit. Last month, or in November, December, we talked about peace. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace. In the NIV it says forbearance, but I like the word in the Amplified. It's patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now, patience has just gotten a bad rap. You know, whenever you hear patience, it's like, oh my gosh. You know, hurry up and let me get patience, the old joke goes. But I'm wanting to reformat this. And we've been talking about this the last 2 times. Patience, this is my definition. Patience is syncing up with the Holy Spirit's plans and His timing to partner with Him. I grew up in the 70s as a teenager, and that's when the popular end times teaching that is popular, still popular today with the Left Behind series and all of that stuff. It was just really going crazy in the 70s. We weren't going to make it out of the 70s. The end of the world was coming. And there were Christians, this is not an end times teaching, so don't get scared here, but there were Christians that literally didn't go to college, didn't get a career, put off marriage because they knew God was coming any moment. There is this tension in Christianity. Do you remember this? Yeah, you're the same age I am. There's this tension in Christianity where He can come any moment. And we need to live that way. But out of that, I saw this fear and run to the mountains and stock up mentality that caused us to withdraw from the world. And I think much of the world that we lost, and much of culture that we lost now in the schools and in the government, just calls some of it, not all of it, is this teaching that we withdrew. He's coming back, believe me. But why hasn't He come back now? Because He is partnering with you to change this world as the Lord's Prayer. He meant it in the Lord's Prayer. It's written out here in the hallway. Pray, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That was His prayer. Father. You know the one that says, forgive us of our trespasses as You've forgiven us? That's in there. He believes, see, fear comes up with this, that you're really, all you're worthy for is salvation. He saved you, let's hang on till we die. I grew up with that. It was never said that way, but that's sort of the blunt trauma force of it. Hang on till you die. But He is not that way. He says, I love Whitfield County. I love Bradley County. I love, some of you live in Murray. Some of you live in Gordon. He loves it. He leaves you here to first get a relationship with you, to hear His voice, get our own spirit, soul, and body figured out, and then to help other people. See, if He comes tomorrow, how many people are going to hell? Because the judgment seat of Christ is going to happen. But he is holding off because he loves your neighbors. And he loves you. And he loves your unsaved family members. And he loves that family member that's saved that needs to revisit the cross. He loves you. And he doesn't just sovereignly work, which means just out of nowhere lightning bolts come. His primary method, which I would never do if I was God. I would never do what he does. He says, I believe in Tiffany and Julie and Marcy. Oh, I forgot your joke. I'm telling this. Let me finish this sentence. I found out why I laughed every time I looked at her. And he loves you enough, and he believes in you enough because you're created in his image. Get this. We got to reverse. We're not just sinners saved by grace. We were sinners saved by grace. Now we're... You look at the beginning of every epistle that Paul wrote. He wrote one-third of the New Testament. He addressed them as saints. Now he sees us as saints, not that we don't sin, but instead of sinners trying to be a saint, we're a saint that sometimes sin. That's a big difference. He says, I believe them enough. I created them like me. The creative force that was in Jesus, as John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. It says like two verses down, He created the world. That same creativity is inside of you to bring inventions to change the world, to words to change your neighbors. His primary method, which I would never do, because I know myself. That wasn't evil, I'd probably do it. But I know myself. He says, I'm trusting the world and the reputation I have in their hands, along with sovereign moves of God. Which, that's a crazy plan for my mind. Remember I said, I got to tell this story. We're going to do a little rabbit, then we'll shoot it. Every time I looked over there, I started laughing at her. And I looked at her, and she's still laughing. I said, why are you laughing? I'm going to share the story. Is this all right? She said, the Lord gave me a whole thing to write down. A little, like, blog type deal. Maybe it's bigger than that. I don't know. I said, what is it called? She says, I don't want to tell you. She didn't say that, but I could see it in her face. She said, it's called the parable of the toilet. And she said, she got this picture and these words. And she says, it's hilarious. So, I'm telling you, it just jumped off. You know, God has a sense of humor. I said, I can't wait to read this thing. But isn't that cool? You pick up on people's... The point here, you pick up on people's atmosphere, spiritual atmosphere that they carry. When you walk in patience, when you walk in peace, when you walk in love, wherever you go with your neighbors or your family members or your spouse or your worker, you bring this atmosphere. Hers was just not really a fruit of the... Well, joy. We're going to call that one joy, all right? He brings this joy that I was picking up on. It changes people without even having to say anything. So patience is this. Patience has got a bad rap. Patience is learning to sync up and get the right timing of the Jesus that you're walking with. And as we talked about 2 weeks ago, when I get an idea and I know it's God, I'm ready to run. I'm a fixer. I'm a doer. I'm a project guy. I don't think he's ever let me do it immediately. Unless there's somebody sitting here like giving him a prophetic word. Why does he do that? I don't know. Some of it, he's just like, chill out, relax. And as we talked about, and this is one of the points I want to revisit today, we talk about that he almost always stops you and it doesn't happen right then. How many of you are sitting on words and dreams and visions multiple years? Why does he do that? Some of it, he just wants to hang out with you. But some of it, it's usually for one of three reasons. One, many times your vision requires others, so he needs to bring other people alongside you. Very rarely anything big is going to happen with just you. Matter of fact, it's never going to happen. Two, he's waiting on circumstances to get to the place where something can actually be birthed instead of just die on the spot. And the third thing that I want to zero in on here is often it's to change you. Let me give you an example. And hopefully you're encouraged by this and not depressed. But this is how God works. First of all, I want to say this. Your end, if you're walking with God, you're doing the best that you know how. Your end is already done. You've got to get your mind around this. He's living above space and time. It's done. So all we're trying to do is learn to catch up, live out here with what's already happened in heaven. And as we walk with Him, I'm telling you, you cannot miss the will of God. Even when you think you're wandering, you're not. As it says up here, inactivity is not no activity. This was a hard lesson for me. Nothing's happening. God's not moving. Usually, the more inactivity there is, and the more you wait, it's representative of the heaviness of the call on your life. David. Think about David. Poor King David. Samuel comes into the house. He passes over six of the guys. He has to pull this guy in. You know the story. Hopefully poor little David in from the sheep. He's the ruddy one. I'm not quite sure what... I don't know what Hebrew means for ruddy, as the King James says. It says he was short and ruddy. It doesn't sound encouraging, though, does it? Anyway, he is prophesied king. It was 17 years. I mean, he was anointed. He had a great charismatic service. He was on Charisma Magazine and TBN as the next king. Nobody hears from him for 17 years, and he's hiding out in caves. Was God's will for that to happen? Yeah. Something happened to had to happen in David for 17 years to be able to walk because of the heaviness of the authority as king to be able to handle it. But he knew he was about to be signed up for the school of the Holy Spirit, which means working on your spirit, soul, and body. And so he gave him this word so that he wouldn't drop out. This was an example. This happened in all my life, except I wasn't anointed king. It doesn't work real well in America anyway. I was 18 years old at my graduation, high school graduation. I won't go into all the details because there's more important points. I knew that day I was going to be a senior leader of a church and plant a church. Okay, 18 years old. So, I tried to get into Bible college. And I'm telling you, okay, that's what you do, right? You go to Bible college. You've been to Bible college. That's what you do. I'm telling you, God shut that door down faster than you can shut a physical door. And you have to understand, I was from a traditional denominational background. We were taught that you couldn't even hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. It was always just if you felt something when you read the Word. But I felt something. I mean, it was clear I wasn't supposed to do that. So I end up going, he leads me to go to Georgia Tech. Great career to be in the ministry. Yeah. I already know this isn't working out according to the ideal plan. There's nothing wrong with Georgia Tech. I get an engineering degree. All right, I told my parents, she's not here today, but I told my parents I'm going to Dallas Theological Seminary. You know Dallas Theological Seminary? It was that same persuasion of seminary that I grew up in. My mom started it. She goes, you may go, but we're not having anything to do with it, not giving you any money. Which I don't blame her. I'd already got a bachelor's degree. And I'm telling you, shut this door down. So I have to eat. I have to pay rent. So I go to work as an engineer. I leave Atlanta. I wanted to be in a big city. I had this word now. It's been 4 years. Well, it took 4.5 for me to get out of Georgia Tech. It's 4.5 years. I go to Augusta, Georgia. I didn't want to go to Augusta, Georgia. Me, the guy that God can't hear, that can't speak to you directly. Okay? He speaks to me directly. You know, he can get through the hardest-headed theology, craziness, wherever. Okay? He can just speak to you. Why? Because he's God. He speaks to me and goes, you're going into the wilderness. I didn't even really know what the wilderness was, but it did not sound good. So I go to work for Georgia Power, working for a nuclear plant. They don't put those in cities. They're out in the boonies. That's actually where, through a long story, we made the connection with them indirectly. So I go to Augusta, Georgia, working this nuclear plant. 1 year after I get there, they put us on 7-12s, 7 days a week, 12 hours a day, for 1 year. They give us some days off here and there. Okay? Great training for the ministry. okay, I'm going to be here 2 or 3 years. I don't know how I'm going to get there now. Somehow or another, I got to save up money, go to Dallas Theological Seminary. I am leading up to a whole point. I was prophesied to be a senior leader. You're prophesied. You've got dreams and visions. What you envision at now, I'm telling you, is not the same as what it's going to be. But when you get there, you'll know this is what it was. It gives you a kernel so that you recognize, but it always looks different. I'm making a long story short, but I'm putting a point. I've 2 or 3 years, I'm out of here, I'm not quite sure. 10 years later, well, Craig, you're not in the ministry. You're not doing this, you're not doing that. 33, graduated 23, 33. I mean, I'm getting old. You know, young, hyper, whatever. Still not in the ministry. You know what? That entire time, I was being trained for the ministry. The entire time, it was about me. I'll make a long story short. I've already said that once. Say it again. During that time, I had a crisis of faith. I end up going to somebody that was going to help me deal with some problems in my life. I was warned. They believe in the gifts. And some of you have been around and heard this story before. But you're going to see in Augusta, Georgia, at a nuclear plant, my destiny was this meeting. But I had to get to my end of myself enough for God. So I go to him with my problem. You've heard me talk about it before. Not enough time to go into it. And he goes, you've had some demonic oppression around you. Can I pray with you? I said, you can. But see, it took me many years to even go to this guy to get prayer. It's about me. And even when I was there, the arrogance was coming through. I said, you can pray for me because God made it clear I was supposed to go. But I said, I don't believe that demons can oppress Christians. He said, that's fine. Can I pray? He prayed one sentence prayer. It wasn't half shouting and hollering and all that. Just, and I'm like, it's gone. I mean, I just got delivered. And he says, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues. Can I pray for you? I mean, what do you say at this point? I said, I don't believe in that either. Man, I was a slow learner. See, it was about me in the wilderness. He prays, and that's by the grace of God. I mean, it's the grace. My theology wasn't right. My heart wasn't right. I love God, but nothing aligned. I start speaking in tongues. It took me 5 years to get my theology to line up with my experience. I ended up going to a charismatic church. 34, came here, started this church. No, I've never been to Bible college. I've never done all that kind of jazz. That's good. I read every year for 20 years. I've read 30 to 50 books a year. I listen to 20 hours of tapes a year. I've done this for decades. So the Lord can do this at other ways and other things. But this is the point. 18, I'm thinking there's no inactivity. I go to college. I go to Augusta, Georgia, thinking there's nothing happening. What does he do? When am I destiny is going to come? The Lord showed me after I started the church, we had a prophetic worship service like this. Now, this is a long ways from where I came from. He said, if you had gone to Dallas Theological Seminary or the Bible school that you wanted, you would never have a church like this. You'd have a church, and I'm sure it'd be a good church. But my destiny that I didn't tell you at 18, because your grid, your framework, wasn't big enough to handle the vision that I've given you. And if I told you at 18 it would short-circuit you, you couldn't handle it. It took, from 18 to, I started doing this stuff before I left. I was with a pastor. They know the pastor, Caesar Brooks, there. Started learning this stuff. This is the thing. There is never no activity in God. Never. Never. I don't care what you're doing. It is training. It may not be the way you think it is, but I'm telling you, you do not stop. You do not lose faith. You will arrive wherever you're going. And it will look different than you thought. I could have never conceived. You got to understand, at 18 years old, I argued with my Sunday school teachers or any teachers that were charismatic and told them if you speak in tongues, you are demonically possessed, frothing at the mouth. And now we're in a church that teaches you how to do this. That no activity was activity for me. That was patience of going to school for 4 years and 10 years in Augusta, Georgia, in my wilderness, and he finally told me my wilderness time was over with. So 14 years, it was all activity. And most time, you can't see the destiny until you get there and see it in reverse. So that was patience. I would have never called it patience, but that was patience because it was syncing me up with where the Holy Spirit walks and doing it in His timing. And so now, I'm not that great at it, but I want to talk about that last point in the lower right-hand corner. What patience does is teaches you to rest. Really, this is the thing, as I started off with this. If you are following the Holy Spirit, you cannot miss His will. So the key to patience is a gift to say, you know, I love this thing. I want to do this thing, but this thing is so much bigger than me and I can't figure it out yet. I am going to rest. I'm not going to make waves unless He tells me to make waves. I'm not going to bash down doors unless He tells me to open the doors. There are places where you have to bash down, but I'm not moving until He tells me to move. I'm going to rest because the end is already completed and He's got a plan. And I'm going to enjoy Him more than the doing. This was a huge lesson for me. It still is. I was more, because of the way I was brought up with a workaholic dad, etc., etc., if I rested, I felt that I wasn't valuable. And I felt that I wasn't doing something for the kingdom. I felt that I wasn't accomplishing something. And what happens was, there's going to be a lot of wood, hay, and stubble in my life that's going to burn up that I thought was the activity of God. But that part that I did with Him because I rested with Him, when the burning comes, it's going to be gold, silver, and precious stones. And the key is not just what you do, but who you do it with and how you do it. So my whole goal is that song that Brian Johnson from Bethel sings so often. Just want to do the things you do, say the things you say, John 12 and John 5. I'm trying to relax and just enjoy the journey, knowing I can't miss this thing as I listen to His voice and walk with Him. Graham Cook's got this quote. So let me talk about rest a little bit. Because this is what patience does when you actually slow down and say, my value is not in what I do. See, that's the servant. Jesus said, we all need to be a servant. Don't get out of this. But He said, servants I give orders, friends I tell what's happening. He's wanting to promote us from a servant. I was the best servant that you could find. One day, this was not that many years ago, I was standing out in the lobby, just looking out, and the Lord just told me, He said, you're a great servant. I can't find a better servant. So I was getting all glad and happy and made it by, because I'm all about the doing and the orphan mentality. But He said, I'm looking for friends now. Now, with friends, you don't have to do. If you do, they're a good friend. You know, if you're in one of those marriages that you feel under pressure to always perform, or the honey-do list, or act a certain way as a wife, it's not a fun marriage. It's not a restful marriage. But here's Graham Cook quote. The enemy seeks to pull us out of rest by getting us to act too quickly to events. Resting and waiting on the Lord is not inactivity. Hebrews 4:10. This is one of the few verses in the Bible that tells you to work. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from His. Ephesians 4:11. Now here's where the work comes in. Let us therefore make every effort, one version says labor, to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. So think, this doesn't make sense. Just think about it. Get over the verse. He said, work at resting. There is something in our soul that just Is yours like mine, or am I the only one here? It's just like, always this, that. We can't, especially in this day and age. You know, we get notifications. I don't have a problem with any of this. But have you ever seen somebody just rest without a smartphone in their hand and flipping through whatever, Twitter, a zillion times? This is the deal. I'm not trying to put condemnation on you, but there is a place where we need to work to rest. Why, Craig? Because this is where the friendship comes in and the instructions come in. How many of us have been at dinner somewhere or lunch somewhere, and you see a young couple, and they're obviously not married yet, and it's always fun watching them. It used to be. It's not anymore. What do? They don't even look at each other. They're flipping back and forth, and I'm like, how do you develop a marriage out of this? How do you develop a relationship out of this? I tell you what, I do that with the Lord all the time. I sit down, and it can be as simple as reading the next Christian blog or listening to music. I challenge you to work at rest, because that's where the friendship comes in, the understanding of what's going on. In this day and age, in the 21st century, you have to work at that. So I challenge you this week, if you don't already do it, sit down for 5 minutes. Don't turn the TV on. Don't even turn the music on. Sit there. Most people can't last 120 seconds. And I'm not being sarcastic. You start getting fidgety or whatever. That's fine. That just shows where we're at. It's not a sin. And just say, Father, let my goal today be 120 seconds. And what he's doing is bringing up a people that can be at rest. We teach in our discipleship course the concept of the pause. Wait 3 seconds before doing anything or talking. And I've tried to do this in different meetings at work, in ministers' meetings, and different things. Instead of just coming in with my opinion or doing this and that, which is so easy, my natural position to do that, I'll pray and say, Lord, what are you saying about them? What are you saying about this situation? And rest. You'll be surprised. Here's a phrase I wrote down this week. Authority in the spirit realm, which also is eventually evidenced in the physical realm, comes from rest. Rest is not doing anything. Rest is rest getting to know Him. Let me read you Isaiah 30:15. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. Now listen, me and my brother, we've done businesses, had to hustle, do all that kind of jazz, been in stressful situations. There is a concept in America that is unbiblical, that will rob you of authority going forward. That is the one of always being busy. Instead of 12 hours a day, coming out of Silicon Valley, we still are in the IT world, information, you know, the more the merrier. The big thing now is they're experimenting with all these supplements and drugs to get more done in the same amount of time. Listen, that is not how the kingdom of God works. You kill yourself for 16 hours, and I know there's times you got to work hard. That's, you know, get the bigger picture. 1 minute of rest can accomplish what 16 hours can through insight with Him. That's partnering with Him. I love this quote by a Frenchman. I can't even pronounce her name. Being still does not mean don't move. It means moving of the Holy Spirit. So you have to slow down to activate the fruits of the Holy Spirit in your life, because they don't come by effort. They come by a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Let's stand. Let's close. You guys are awesome, man. And we've got, let me pray a quick prayer of blessing, then y'all are going to do one more song. And you are free to